Any elected member wish to make a declaration of interest in relation to any item on the agenda? Obviously, in the confidential item, there'll be participants who will have an interest in the outcome, but apart from that, I'm not aware of any. So we'll keep going. Confirmation of the minutes. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes from the last meeting? Moved Hutchinson, seconded Pfeiffer. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. There are no deputations. There are two petitions. Can we have someone to note the motion as read? Councillor Crossland. Both are in block. Is that seconded? Councillor Gard. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So, no committee reports tonight. Corporate reports for decision. Section 270, removal of play space. May I just ask managers, is this one of these things that has come to us now because somebody said it would, but it's not actually ready?
Yes.
Yes, is the answer. So, I suppose... we just, we're looking to adjourn this to another meeting, aren't we?
Yes. And I believe it's actually coming back on the 7th of March, not the 28th of February, when the entire play space or playground strategy is due to come back.
I'm sorry, where's the motion? Be presented to council. So, members, we're looking for this matter to be moved as printed, except for the 7th of March to be there instead of the 28th of February, because they need a bit more time. Is that right?
Well, that's when the whole consideration of the items coming back regarding the consultation on the playground strategy and all that. So it's coming back as part of that item as well.
So it's coming back as part of the playground consultation strategy?
Yes.
Fine. So, 7th of March would be more suitable. Anyone want to get that going? Move Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Westwood. Any debate? Move, or put the motion, all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, update to schedule of delegations. This is really straightforward. Because Council has been given by the State extra powers in relation to nuisance and litter, the usual sort of delegations of power need to be put in place so that Adrian doesn't have to go around on the weekend picking up papers and, I don't know, catching litter bugs, whatever. So he would really appreciate it if you'd move this. Councillor Valescu, thank you. And seconded Councillor Westwood, who's very active tonight. All those in favour? A question? Sorry, I haven't put the vote yet. Councillor Hull?
Just so we've got a benchmark with this, probably should ask the same question in 12 months' time to measure the effectiveness of the new legislation and our powers. How many litter expiations were issued last year?
You met? Take that one on notice, which is, I think, fair enough.
Probably isn't it, is it?
Send an email in, you'll get an answer. Anything else, Councillor Valescu? So, thank you, Ms. Dixon, for looking at that, and we'll bring an answer back for members. Very well. Now I think I can put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On page 60, we've got Tung No, a very busy member of the Upper House, possibly the busiest, you never know, who's come up with this idea about mayors and elected members standing down if they go for elections in other realms. We've been previously supportive of the idea, but It's up to us what we do with it. Councillor Blescu?
But as is, Your Worship.
Move as is.
I'd just like to make a comment that I think we really need to consider, you know, what the some sort of guidance when elected members have nominated, just to help delineate any perceptions that their council activity is actually campaigning activity, and some guidelines for them as well, so they don't get themselves into trouble when perhaps they think they're doing the right thing.
We might have a look at that more closely ourselves as we get closer to the council election. So that's been moved. Before I take a seconder or take a question.
Have we got a situation here right now where we've got a motion in regards to party affiliations, the local government, being moved by party affiliation to support a Labor MLC?
Is this a point of order or a question?
I'm just asking you, is that a reasonable assessment of what's happening here tonight?
I don't think any of us here at the front need to answer that question, to be honest. It seems to be making a debating point. So I'll move on. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Just a question, just a clarification. So the position that the member of the Legislative Council is putting, the Honourable Mr. No, is that it's when from when the writs are issued as opposed to being from pre-selection. Is that correct?
I understand that it is while the writs are issued, because, I mean, pre-selection can happen 6 months, 2 years away.
But the writs being issued is only, a month before?
It's
6 weeks?
It's the date on which nominations for the elections close. That's after the writs are issued. So it's actually a very confined period.
Right, so that's only a couple of weeks, really. So
it's probably about 3 weeks.
It's just the pointy end of the campaign. It's not the 12 months leading into it.
That's right. Bearing in mind that there's no restriction at the moment, so this is a minimalist reform, in a sense, but the sky's the limit.
Can I speak against the motion, then?
We'll see if we have a seconder first. Councillor Byram, thank you. Wish to speak? All right. In opposition, Mr. Hull.
Well, Councillor Hull. Look, the intent of it is honourable, and in fact, Marion is a centrepiece of this, because we had an incident. We had an incident. The chap used to sit just over there, and that created an inquiry, and Marion reached some infamy as a consequence of that. And the genesis of this review is centred around Marion. And the point that it's actually going to deal with 2 or 3 weeks right at the end of the campaign, when really they probably want to be out door knocking and doing all those sort of things anyway, makes the whole thing superficial and a feel good. It's really not going to achieve much. It's not going to address what happened here back in that term, and Councillor Fife is nodding. It's not going to address that at all, and I'm not into warm and fuzzy bullshit from the Plaster Palace on North Terrace, and that's all this is. You know, it's meaningless time-wasting. Like, talk about hard-working. Well, he's hard-working doing nothing. What's he achieving out of this? Just to free up the members so they can go and door knock for 3 weeks. The damage can be done well before then in these places, and it was done. The Ombudsman actually made a ruling on it. So I'm not happy with supporting something that's just piffle. And that's all it is. It's just piffle. And, you know, he and the Parliament should do better than this, because it's not addressing the problem that they've identified.
Very well. Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Pfeiffer. And just before you speak, Councillor, one option here. Given that this question is what we advise the LGA, I just put on the table an additional option of whether, I mean, what we tell the LGA is one thing. If any member suggests that I also write directly to Tungno, I'm happy to do that with a more nuanced approach if that comes out of the debate. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Worship. I wouldn't mind moving an amendment along those lines, that that the City of Marion directly approaches the Legislative Councillor as well. Look, I am in support of this particular motion that has been put in front of the Legislative Council.
And Tom Knight, MLC.
Sorry, shall I wait for a second first, or shall I?
So the mover and seconder are happy to accept that. So after LGA, we'll have And Tung No MLC. Because it was as well, was what Councillor Fife was suggesting.
Yeah, that's correct. I think. Look, I really do think that this needs to be from the time of pre-selection, which gets difficult when you're talking about independence potentially. But, you know, it is something, you know, the campaign isn't just from when the writs are actually issued. I know on paper technically it is, but the campaign starts a good 12 months before that. And I think, you know, for clarity, for the person who's running and for the community, it really needs to be from a much earlier point. But look, I am actually supportive of what's being done here, but I just don't think it goes far enough.
Councillor Pfeiffer, I take it that the intention ultimately is trying to keep party politics or ideological politics out of what we do around the table. Isn't that the ultimate intention? Well, I mean, Councillor Pfeiffer's suggestion is addressing that problem more fully.
Your Worship, it's not so much about party politics. It's about using or the perception of use of a council, of the council office, or the office that one holds for another purpose, in addition to being there doing the best job that you can for the community. It's one or the other, really.
Mm. You mean like the example of Hannah in 1995 when he chose, or 1997 when he chose not to contest the May 97 council election and contested the state election later in the year?
Probably, but I was 16 years old at the time.
Now, just check, Councillor Pfeiffer, were you then... We've got the bit about writing to the MLC as well, but did you actually... Are you actually suggesting... just something to put in the letter, or did you want to change the motion otherwise also?
Look, I'm fine for it to play through as it is.
Play through as it is.
Do they want to record it? You're supportive
of it? Oh, yeah. Changes? I mean, the thing is, I could note that in the debate it was suggested that the period might be extended, something like that.
Yep, fantastic.
I mean, I can do that informally if I get the feeling that people are more or less happy with it. Councillor Westwood.
Just really under the heading of clarification, I thought I picked up the general spirit that the measures weren't quite as much as they should be, so maybe the effectiveness of the legislation may be questioned, I suppose. Does that sound like what we should be saying?
I'll include something along those lines. Councillor Appleby.
Oh, thank you, Your Worship. I'll just make the point that the narrow scope may be because for legal reasons that you know, he may have taken advice that it may be illegal to do it any broader than that. So I suspect it probably is for that reason deliberately narrow.
Well, thank you. I'll take that on board as well. Councillor Velescu to close the debate.
I think Councillor Pfeiffer raises a good point as far as the blurring of the lines once pre-selection happens. I think ultimately people that are planning to get into state parliament and they are doing it through a stint in local government, people should be honest. So if someone, I don't know whether that has happened in the past, I can't say for sure. My belief is it may have. But if you go into the people and you planning to stand for state government, you should say, look, I want to represent you at the local government, but ultimately I want to represent you at that higher level. And then some guidance as to what can and can't happen. I think in the last meeting before the last state election, if someone had gotten up and said, look, I can't vote on this because my party has offered some money towards this thing, and walked out, there would have been unanimous support for that. And I think probably just, you know, with a whirlwind thing of the campaign and the pressure, all that sort of stuff, you know, that wasn't an option that came to mind or acted on. So I can't really say anything further, and I'm not sort of pointing fingers or anything like that. I think what they've got here from the MLC's point of view, Mr. No, I think it's probably the most practical, because then you exactly know when they're the candidate. So I think it's a good first step. But, of course, you know, it's only those last few weeks. So, and I guess the other thing is that if people are pre-selected a year in advance, you might actually... I'd rather they are able to serve with some clarity as opposed to us going through a by-election. If people get elected in state parliament now, the period is just short enough for us to avoid a by-election. Anything further than that, it would incur an extra cost to council, so, and ratepayers ultimately.
Thank you. All right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. Now on page 64, the second budget review. Now, I've got Mr. Barnwell who can answer a question. Look, really, I have a suggestion more than a question. I mean, the numbers look pretty good. We can be thankful for that. It's great to see Mr. Skoll, I think I'm saying on behalf of all of us, that expenditure on consultants has been substantially reduced, making a lot of headway there. But I am, you know, I'm very passionate about things being called what they really are. So in the other consultants line on page 78, there's something called corporate development, $50,600. And I'm thinking, wow, how did we develop our corporation? You know, is that staff training or governance work? You look down what it is, it's the Streetscape Program Design Guide. So why not say that? And this actually does, I'll ask you to comment, Mr. Barnwell, but it touches on a larger issue. Because the last two budgets, members, including myself, have discovered various items tucked away in the wrong budget lines. And I know that we're in a process of ironing all of that out, but it's when you get weird names like that I believe mistakes happen in items being put into the wrong category. So would you comment on that, Mr. Barnwell?
Quite happy to take that on board, Chris. Like you say, the actual description doesn't exactly fit what the expenditure is, does actually relate to, and it's more how we categorise these within the budget. So I'm happy to take that on board and try and improve that going forward.
Thank you. Any questions, comments before we deal with it, Councillor Gard? 67.
Sorry, I didn't have my mic on. Page 67, it's kind of the same point, Your Worship, that you're making. Under the heading of other funds quarantined in ASR, there's an item of $1.769 million. Identified 2015-16 savings. I just needed a bit of expansion on what that line means.
Yes, I understand that they are savings which have been put into that reserve fund rather than just into the general account. But I'll ask Mr. Barnwell to comment.
Yes, and the 1.769 million savings following the completion of the 15-16 annual accounts, and we brought to the October meeting the savings that were achieved out of that, and it was a council decision to quarantine those savings within the reserve fund. So it's merely rich. You can capture those funds, you can track them, you know where they are. They can't be taken out of that reserve fund without council resolution, so it's merely to clear that up.
So could a name for the savings be assigned, or is it just a general savings?
Well, I suppose
it's not a cash savings, for example.
Well, they are cash savings,
they are cash savings.
But the The description is that they are identified 15-16 savings based on the annual accounts, the completion of the annual accounts. It's, we can certainly happy to change to the description.
Yeah, I'm thinking more externally for the reader, it is just more relativity if there's a name put to where the savings came from, even though the year is clear, the actual source is not, to me anyway.
Perhaps, in the next iteration of the budget review, it could have a footnote just to explain in a one-liner what that amount is.
That would satisfy me. Would
it's not inaccurate, but it could do with a little bit of exposition.
We also, sorry, Chris, we also put in the council resolution to the left of that, so you can actually identify which council report those savings refer to and the item refers to.
Thank you. Well, looking for someone to move and second. Moved, Councillor Crossland. Seconded, Councillor Gard. Further discussion? I'll put that motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On page 79, the corporate performance report, I can advise that in the, where was it, the review and selection committee, because we were talking about the chief executive's KPIs and this notion that we have this traffic-like system, which is great for a shorthand, immediate look at what's happening, but of course a number of the criteria don't really make sense until you look at them at the end of the year. So we were talking about maybe there should be a separation with the red, two different versions of it, one that is unacceptable and one that is on track but not yet achieved. You see, they're two very different things. We would not be concerned about the latter, but we might be the former. So I just ask Adrian and Mr. Mifsud, etc., to take that on board with the corporate KPIs as well as the chief's KPIs. Mr. Scull?
Thank you, Chair. What we propose to do is to put some comments alongside the report as it comes in each quarter, so that actually saying that we're tracking okay with this, or there's some concerns with this, and we can actually highlight those issues that we've got. So the truth is we're tracking well on all of the top four of those corporate KPIs, but it doesn't look like that because of the end of the year. Can I just say that the one issue that would sticks out there is about the staff numbers, but that's due to some agency staff who we put on for the Marion Outdoor Swimming Centre, and of course that actually exaggerates the staffing numbers, and so we actually talked about separating those two numbers as well.
That's a good idea. Seasonally adjusted numbers. I like it. All right. Is that moved? Seconded? Moved, Councillor Lescu. Seconded, Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Councillor Telfer had a motion to move tonight. Now, I had a message to call her. I haven't had a chance to do it. I don't know whether she wants someone else to move it or for her to move it. If nobody has heard from her, I suggest it would simply be deferred or not dealt with. I think that's what... So we'll just not deal with it and deal with it on the next agenda and give Councillor Telfer the opportunity. It's not one of those that's of great urgency, so that is fine. Next on... what have we got next? Helen. Yes.
Just a question for Mr. Barnwell. I think Councillor Telfer's options looks really good. Just a request, if it does come back to us, would you be able to indicate the level of savings that we may achieve by using email? It's not made that clear in here.
There is some per unit pricing, but not total savings. Mr. Barnwell?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was just dealing with the matter informally, even though we're not really dealing with it. That's fine. On page 88, we've got a motion from Councillor Hutchinson about Travers Reserve land. Councillor Hutch.
Thank you, Your Worship. It would have been good to have Councillor Telfer here as well on this one to talk through some of the issues as well, but I'll try and be brief. So members will recall that we previously voted to, and it's been progressing for some time, to transfer land with Housing SA to get a better open space outcome. So as part of that, we ended up with two allotments of land left over that we needed to sell. It wasn't identified at the time that there was a tree there that was significant, and it's only just significant, I believe, from the measurements. So certainly when you go past it, it doesn't appear to be. It's a lemon-scented gum. The issue that we have encountered was that we got an arborist report. It was put to the DAP. The DAP said the tree is healthy. Therefore, the outcome is the tree should stay. However, that doesn't meet council's objectives in trying to sell the land. So basically, we have an allotment that has a tree approximately 40% down the length of the allotment, which restricts the building envelope and obviously would restrict its value for council. What this motion here, as suggested by the Manager of Development Services, is that we take a different approach in looking at the amenity value of the tree and defer any further progression on the sales side of these two allotments until such time that that's been assessed. So the net result is you could sell the allotment now as either one allotment and take a hit in terms of financial benefit. And you would have seen that in the previous report to council. So I think it was 66,000. So you can either do that or you can effectively sell one allotment and then wait till the house gets built and then try and argue that it's within 10 metres. However, there's now a protection zone around the tree. So it comes down to what's the amenity value of the tree on the reserve. There's plenty of other trees on the reserve. It's unfortunate that this was only identified after the fact, after many years. And obviously, since we started the process in the last term, the tree's grown. So, nonetheless, that's what this motion intends to do. It tends to put a new application forward on the amenity value rather than the health of the tree to achieve that objective.
Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, any further discussion? Councillor Hull.
I'm going to speak against it. As I remember, I've always been against this reserve, because right reserve being sold in the fashion that it did. So I'm going to be consistent. But more importantly, Mr. Mayor, if we do this, what sort of signal does this send out to developers? That we have one standard for them in terms of retaining a tree, because they might make a fast buck out of it, or the Marion Council will get rid of the tree because we can make more money. The principle that I find concerning, I think that we've actually taken people to court for this and fined them because they had the audacity to ignore a council ruling and cut the tree down. But we can do it because we can. But where's our principles with this? I have to ask. Now, the council staff has indicated that it should be an exclusion zone around, so obviously the tree's been assessed. They put a perimeter up, but that doesn't suit us because we can't optimise our take on the land. So I'm sorry, but I can't support it just on ethics. It's an ethical dilemma for the council. If this is supported, we send a signal out to the developers that they can actually put a case, you know, a legal case, that the Marion Council was prepared to do this because they wanted to make a quick dollar. Why can't we? And that could end up in the EID court.
Well, no, I'm going to stop you there because that's a misrepresentation and it's injurious to the interests of the council. That's highly irresponsible if you don't know what you're talking about. And I can tell you, you don't. On that, don't go giving us legal advice unless you've got that from a qualified lawyer. Seriously, that's stupid.
You're calling me stupid?
That was a stupid comment, yes.
That's inappropriate, Mr. Mayor. It's a reflection on me, a serious one.
No.
I asked you to withdraw the comment.
It was a stupid comment because it's injurious to council.
I'm not I'm not really in a position to deal with this tonight, and it's unfair, and I urge you to reconsider your comments to elected members.
Well, I'm sorry to offend you, but it's not meant to be personal. But, it's really a comment that shouldn't be made. Councillor Lescu.
I wanted to clarify what Councillor Hull and Councillor Hutchison were talking about, because from how I read it is that we were going to sell the parcel of land, then that whoever could have cut the trees, there would have been no issue. But because the tree can't be removed, now we need to sell it and see what way we can maximise our income with the tree remaining and being part of the landscape, no pun intended. Is that the case? Is that what we're doing here? Or are we opening the door for the tree to be removed in some other way? Because it just seemed a bit unclear.
Any comment from management?
Through the chair, so correct me if I haven't understood your question correctly, but originally council was planning to sell off two allotments. And as Councillor Hutchison indicated, it has been a process that's been considered over a significant period of time. It is a tree that it's not a clear-cut assessment, and there has been multiple assessments on that tree from separate arborist reports. So if council can only sell one allotment, there is a loss of sale income in the order of around $66,000. So there's a cost in that. So the motion tonight, if council approves, will give that final independent assessment on the tree, the amenity of the tree there, and whether it can be removed. So it provides independent and a thorough assessment before a final decision is made. And if that advice comes back from the landscape and that the tree could be removed, then another application can be put through.
I guess is so that anything that council will do on this, will it be in any way, as has been raised, unethical or... We'll be making sure that it's throughout complying with the relevant legislation?
Yeah. Through the chair, yes, definitely we'll comply with the relevant legislation, and it will be independent advice that council will be getting on the matter.
Councillor Crossland.
And again, on the same vein, but having been on the DAP, these are the types of applications that regularly come before council. They're independently considered. And am I right in saying that this is just the normal process that anyone would do for that piece of land? And in fact, if we sell that land, there's nothing stopping the person we sell it to making the application anyway, and they'll make the $66,000. So we really have a duty to make sure we're getting the maximum we can for our ratepayers, and I think this does that.
Is that... Ms. Dixon, did you want to comment on that?
Yep. Through the chair, yes, seeking independent advice around these matters is standard practice.
Councillor Westwood.
I'm also on the DAP, and when this matter came up, I'm sure it was in this case, that I commented that we should allow... we shouldn't be basically paralysed by... being frightened of removing trees if we feel we need to. Humans come first, but there has not been any effort, and usually when we have applications similar to this, quite often the applicant will offer to plant more trees. So we should have plenty of trees and greenery, but we mustn't be paralysed by the fear of removing trees. So I would support this motion. Thank you.
Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, it's well known that I'm definitely a proponent of trees in the City of Marion. I need some edification, though, on what the intent of the minimum size that a it's hard to put into words, but the minimum size for a tree to be felled without any question, and where that cut-off point is. Now, we all know the measurements, but it's the intent of that measurement, and could it be said that it is it's really more for ambience and character of the area or not? And then in determining that, could it then be put to support the findings of council tonight that condition be associated with the seeking of advice? In other words, the word amenity is a little bit nebulous, and it's hard to understand from a case history point of view, if you look back, as to why a tree could be removed as opposed to it shouldn't have been removed. So clarification is what I'm seeking in regard to why we're trying to preserve trees of a certain size.
Ms. Dixon? Did you get that?
Through the chair, I think the report that will come back will cover all the criteria and the assessment that's covered. It will be a thorough assessment that considers the character, the amenity of the tree, and will take into account current legislation as well. So I think it will be a full detailed assessment that will come back.
I'm sorry, it's really a clarification of my position, the comments I made. I do have to add, or I should add, that I have respect for the DAP, and I have no troubles in that the vote was taken and the majority ruled.
Councillor, I'm going to stop you there. Yes. You had your contribution. You can't have a second bite.
I just wanted to...
thanks for your clarification.
I didn't want to put the DAP down.
I don't think you did, actually.
Okay, that's fine.
Councillor Blescu? Right. Are there any other questions that must be asked? Then anyone speaking against the motion, well, then I can just, I should allow Councillor, there was a speaker against, so I'll allow Councillor Hutchinson to close the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think it would be useful to cover off some of those points that people were unsure about there. Look, members, if we don't do this, someone else can, and the community actually loses out in terms of real dollars, and those dollars would go into someone else's pocket. So, in the spirit of what Council intended to do with this site, and I know Councillor Hull had reservations about whether we should have done the swap, I guess, with Housing SA, but the outcome we've now got is that we've got a reserve that is a thoroughfare. It's not an isolated pocket up the back end of a dead-end street. It runs through to another street because they actually owned all the properties on Travers Street. So that's why we swapped it and realigned the park. And in fact, the section of reserve that's left is actually the greenest part. So, and this tree is effectively, if you haven't been past, is almost by itself in a lot of ways. So it is unfortunate. I don't like cutting down trees. But in this case, it is a lemon-scented gum. And in 2013, the laws changed around lemon-scented gums becoming significant. And therefore, if they were within 10 metres, you can cut them down without approval. Okay? So there was a famous footage of a gentleman in, I think, Fulham Gardens, had this massive lemon-scented gum right next to his house, wanted it gone for years. It was about 50 metres tall. He dropped it onto the street from the base, and it's amazing footage, but I'm not sure if he damaged the road, but he dropped this massive tree down because he could, as soon as the laws changed, he went out there and cut it down. So, yeah, it is unfortunate, but at the end of the day, the DAP has recently approved significant trees being cut down. Several, in fact, that are much older than this, I would argue, is a juvenile tree compared to the ones that were cut down recently at the at one of our private schools to make way for a gymnasium. So when you put it on balance, yeah, not ideal, but we'll get the report at least and we'll put it back for assessment and we'll see how we go.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by a majority. Thank you. Right, Hallett Cove foreshore. Councillor Crossland, I think you've been working with staff to develop some wording. And is this, have you got something to put up on the screen? Over to you.
Thank you, Your Worship. The motion is slightly different to the one that's recommended. I apologise to members for the late alteration. But just by way of explanation, I mulled it over the weekend and I didn't really want the full irrigated grass option. I thought it was too expensive to maintain moving forward, but equally the whole area covered in marsh would not present well. So asked staff to, again, just revise maybe an in-between option, which is what we've got in front of us today. Just by way of explanation of why it's changed from the original plan, we had four or five residents that live near that reserve that campaigned quite hard to retain the native grasses on there, mainly the windmill grass. For whatever reason, they wanted the grass area there to remain. In preparation of the works, the windmill grass was allowed to grow this year to try and thicken it up so it would look more presentable, and then the residents realised that grass has seed, and now they are absolutely covered in grass seed, and that's only when we've just left it for the first year. So they've campaigned hard to change their mind, and they don't want native grasses blowing into their garden, hence the late change. And I've already had two or three phone calls because it's growing back quite quickly. So that's the reason for the late change, and I apologise for that.
So, Councillor Crossland, can you just check the screen to make sure that what you want is going to be up there? Right. So it's not what was. It's not what's on the printed page. It's only what's on the screen. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Worship. And I have emailed that to members before the meeting.
Very good. So is that motion seconded? Seconded, Councillor Gard. No, you're not speaking at the moment. Take a photo. Is anyone speaking against or has a question? No? Anyone speaking against? Well, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Well, that was carried unanimously. Well,
I think the intent is there and the interpretation will be correct. It reads correct to me.
Well, it's carried, but I'll just seek advice between resolutions about whether there's any critical problem with that motion. Ms. Cleddeham?
Through the chair, that covers the amphitheatre area, but there's additional works and funds needing to be allocated to the western area as well in terms of the reprofiling of that particular area as well.
Ms. Cleddeham, sorry, order. Can I just ask, though, where does that appear in the original document as printed?
Page 92.
In the motion that was suggested by staff, where does your issue now come in?
Uh, Recommendation 2, page 92.
Right. So are you saying that what is in Recommendation 2 simply hasn't been dealt with now?
That's right.
All right. And it's not inconsistent with what's on the screen, is it? Or is it?
It is. What's on the screen will only cover the original Recommendation 1.
Ms. Clatton, my question was, if we now move and if we pass Motion 2 as printed, is that inconsistent in any way with the motion that we've just passed?
No.
No?
No, it won't be.
Right. So it's open. We've had one motion passed. It's open to Council now to move Recommendation 2 or something like it. Mr. Barnwell, do we need a motion which states where that money comes from, or is it evident? Do you have sufficient guidance from the motion? It's up on the screen. Is that enough to just grab it out of the open space fund or wherever you want to take it from? I'm hearing from managers that they want to know where it's coming from, that capital amount. Well, that, it doesn't say that at the moment. But and which budget line? Like the open space reserve or what? Well, does that need a specific motion?
Just whether you want clarity that it's going into next year's 17-18.
Point of order, Your Worship.
Point of order, Councillor Pfeiffer.
We have voted and passed this motion, haven't we?
Correct.
So I don't know if we can really go back and start changing things.
No, the only thing we can do is add a layer to it, and management are recommending that we add a layer to it to say how it's going to be funded.
Could potentially add it through a new motion, but I don't think we can add it to a motion that's passed, can we?
I'm with you.
Is my point of order.
No. Your point of order is upheld, and that's the track I'm going on. This is the problem with last-minute motions, I've got to say, and Councillor Crossland knows that as well as anyone else. So can staff sort of immediately suggest some wording for a motion which will solve this finance sourcing issue? We're talking about a new motion. Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, just while we're waiting, had we moved option one in the original staff motion, where was the money coming from? Can't it come from the same place?
Yes. Who's going to answer that? Ms. Clatterham? Yes. Councillor Pryor's question.
Had we moved option one in the previous motion for a larger sum of money than this, where was the money coming from? Why can't we just get it the same place?
Through the chair, it would come through the 2017-18 budget, capital works budget.
Yes, but you probably should state that.
But in the 2017-18 budget, you're going to bring us a budget which has this money in it, aren't you? And then we're going to pass it.
Correct.
So I'm not sure that it is necessary. I mean, you're advising that we should, but personally, I can't see it. I don't know.
One
No, look, I'm really not happy with this, so I'm just not going to deal with it. I'm going to move on to the next item of business, and people can come back at the next meeting with appropriate motions. Order, can we just have some quiet in the room, please? We'll come back at the next meeting, and staff can recommend how to patch this up. Thank you. Page 95, Art of Respect, Councillor Hutchinson's question has been answered. Page 97, Councillor Hull's question about street trees has been answered with a table. And that brings us to a code of conduct complaint. So I'd be looking for a staff member to move the recommended confidential motion for obvious reasons. Councillor Westwood to move. Seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Oh, yes. Robert Toakley will be in the listed as an acceptable person to be in the room in the confidential order because he's the executive officer of the DAP, may have relevant information.